Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. It's February 6th. Lots going on today on the program. First, we wanted to catch you up on news over the weekend. Immigration orders originally put in place by President Trump last weekend were temporarily halted by a federal judge. The ban on immigrants from 7 Muslim-majority nations and for refugees was suspended, and an appeal by the Trump administration to stay that decision was also denied. We're awaiting word today on what happens with the next level of appeals. The executive orders had meant that anywhere from 60,000 to 100,000 visas had been revoked. That number is not entirely clear at this point. But what does it all mean now for people trying to get into Illinois? This morning, the University of Illinois told us they're still advising people from affected countries to exercise caution when considering international travel and are still working directly with student, faculty and others who've been affected by the executive order. Chicago immigration attorney Michael Jarecki has been representing several clients affected by the executive orders. He's on the line with us now from Chicago. Hi, Mike. Welcome back to the 21st.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So last night we saw that 97 tech companies, everyone from Google to Apple to Lyft, filed amicus briefs in support of overturning the ban. I wanted to ask you, the clients you're representing, what kind of work are they doing here in the U.S.?
So some of them are green card holders who have their own businesses, or you know, they can work as any other U.S. worker. Others are student visa holders who have received their degrees in the United States, and they're on a temporary work authorization following the education that they received in the United States to apply that knowledge to U.S. companies. And that's a lot in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM fields, which are highly desirable fields in the United States.
And from what's been happening with your clients since Friday night, are you seeing kind of more folks trying to get back into the country?
So if we just take a step back, a week ago on the 27th, we know the executive order was signed. That halted travel for anyone from the 7 listed countries, and that included non-immigrant visas and immigrant visas. The lawful permanent residents were clarified to have been in the national interest, and they have been pretty much allowed to travel freely into the United States. During this past week, non-immigrants were still stuck outside of the United States because the Department of State unilaterally canceled their visas. The temporary restraining order of February 3rd by the U.S. District Court in the Western District of Washington reversed that, and the Department of State allowed for anyone's visas who were revoked or canceled to enter the United States. Customs and Border Protection also confirmed that individuals would be allowed entry into the United States if they were otherwise admissible. So what happened in the last couple of days is a huge mobilization of people who in the past week were denied boarding planes to come to the United States or who were stuck outside of the United States because they thought their visa was canceled. So the goal is to get as many people who already have approved visas that, again, were unilaterally revoked, but now they're back into effect into the United States, because an approved visa holder is somebody who has already gone through the U.S. government's process for an application and they received an approval. That also suggests that they went through security clearance through the United States government and the procedures that were in place. Some of these non-immigrant visa holders were just outside of the United States temporarily because they were already in the United States as workers, temporary workers, or as students. And that is the significant harm that the judge in Washington found to the state and the states that were represented in that litigation, was that individuals who were already in the United States, would the state's residents would be affected in areas of employment, education, business, family relations, and freedom of travel. And those are all the things that we're seeing not only in Illinois, but across the country. And this temporary restraining order was a nationwide temporary restraining order. So it affected, you know, everyone's visas who were canceled. So anyone could get into the United States, not just going through a port of entry in Washington, but they could do so at O'Hare, and we saw that occurring. What's scary about this is just by nature of the actual word, temporary restraining order, it's temporary.
Right.
As you mentioned, the government has already challenged that. It was appealed to the Ninth Circuit, and the judge allowed it allowed the stay or the temporary restraining order to go in because there's a significant public interest and a harm, and the judge even said the state or the residents would suffer irreparable harm if he did not slow this down, this order, put a pause on it, and allow for an explanation or litigation on the merits to happen from both sides.
And when we say that, I'm just curious, and I know it sounds like there's a lot of things in flux now. We've seen over the past week and a half, things are changing on a very fast basis. But I was wondering, I've read stories about people who, like the folks who were in the air when the policy was established, and then they landed here, and then they were considered in violation. Some people said they were forced to sign forms saying that they violated immigration law, and that therefore they couldn't enter the country for a few years. Do we know what happens with those people now?
So those people need to sort of come forward and try to clear up, if possible, the cancellation of their visa. So you're exactly right that there were people, and this was the chaos and the crisis of last weekend, there were people who were in midair traveling from international destinations into the United States when the executive order was first signed. And Customs and Border Protection, the agency that's in charge at the airport to allow people to come into the United States or to stop them if they're not, if they don't have valid documentation or a valid reason to be here, those people who were presenting non-immigrant visas were seen as not having the correct travel documentation, even though they, in good faith, traveled to the United States, had the approved visa. The rules were changed on them in midstream, and they were not given notice, and they were treated as if they didn't have the proper documentation. There were a limited amount of case-by-case waivers that were able to be applied to individuals, but we heard, as you mentioned, of very draconian steps and steps that then created, if people did not want to sign away their right or withdraw their admission to come to the United States, created a bar such that the government would engage in an expedited removal of that person, and that person would be subjected to a bar of several years from ever being able to come back into the country. So those individuals need to contact a lawyer. Those cases need to percolate potentially up to the courts and quickly, because what occurred to them was something that was the facts and the law of last week. And now if they were traveling, that would be a different situation for them. So where possible, that needs to be undone, and those people need to see if they could apply for a visa again, because it wasn't their fault. Individuals did not, in Customs and Border Protection, have a right to counsel. So they were getting both their legal advice from the same purse government official whose interest it is to try to keep that person outside of the United States. And as a legal community, we're extremely offended by that. We're obviously taking a look at that, especially the class of individuals who were originally held who were lawful permanent resident green card holders, which is really one step under a U.S. citizen. They don't have
so
a right to
Mike,
vote.
Yeah, so what are you telling clients now? I mean, it seems like it's difficult to provide legal advice right now. What are you saying to folks?
Right. I mean, we want to move forward rationally, but we want to move forward with precaution. So if you're outside of the United States and you're from one of these seven countries, if you're outside of the United States and you have your refugee documents that approve you to come to the United States, you need to find a way and get on a flight immediately and come to the United States, because the temporary restraining order, if it is halted, could put into effect some of the elements of the executive order barring these people from coming in. If the court case is won eventually, those people might receive a green light to come back, but we don't know. There's too much uncertainty, so where possible, people need to try to come back to the United States from the seven countries. If you're in the United States and you're from one of those seven countries, I would think twice before traveling abroad. It's very precarious, especially if you're on a non-immigrant visa. If you're a green card holder and you're a passport holder, citizen or national of one of those seven countries, you have a more of a better chance of traveling internationally and coming back in, because the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security has said green card holders are in the national interest to return to the United States. But these individuals can still be subjected to extreme screening in secondary inspection at the airport. And at that time, the government could look through people's luggage, look through people's cell phones and electronics, their social media, to see if there's any anti-American sentiment in this person's background and potentially move to not admit them to the United States. So anything that people are going to do, I think they should get in touch with organizations that work in an immigration sphere or an immigration attorney to understand what their rights are and understand what this rapidly changing environment means to them at the moment when they're going to make that decision.
And what's the scene been like? I know you've spent a lot of time at O'Hare in the past week and a half. What has it been like at O'Hare this past weekend? Are we seeing lots of people trying to come in and book those flights as soon as possible?
Right. We're seeing, I mean, my understanding is we're seeing full flights coming into the United States from key international destinations where people from the seven countries would be traveling from. But in reality, some of these people are traveling from destinations such as Mexico because they decided to go on a vacation when this happened, yet they may be from a country in the Middle East. But we are seeing long wait times to come through customs, both U.S. citizens and other immigrant and non-immigrant visa holders. But we're seeing we're seeing a much more smooth process, and we're not seeing people denied or held in ways that we saw one weekend before. So that's a relief. It is true from our experience that the information is truly trickling down as to what this temporary restraining order means and what the obligations of the government are in not sidestepping the court and still putting in effect the executive order. So we're hopeful that because of the courts, things are calm at this time. But also, this court case is a live court case.
It's an ongoing court case, right? We'll see what happens today as well with that. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. Michael Jarecki is a Chicago attorney and immigration attorney based in Chicago. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.